Okay, so today we're going to take a deep dive into something pretty crucial for understanding what's happening in China right now.
Yeah.
And that is this whole situation with suppressed speech
Exactly.
and the kind of chilling implications of that. We're going to be looking at a recent article from the Epoch Times,
Okay.
which is really interesting because it manages to connect these really personal stories
Yeah.
with a much broader analysis of, the dynamics at play.
Exactly. So we've got a kind of a two-pronged approach here.
Yeah,
We're
exactly.
going to be anchored in this news report, and the case of a former journalist.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be drawing on the insights of an individual called Yao Guofu.
Okay, awesome. So for you, the listener, what we're going to try to do in this deep dive is connect these individual stories to the much bigger picture
Yeah.
of freedom of speech or the lack thereof in China,
Right.
and, really unpack how this reflects on the nature of the CCP itself. Why do these individual cases matter, and what could the global consequences be?
Really important questions.
All right, so let's jump right in with the story of Gu Wanming.
Okay, so this article brings in a report from Free Asia Radio back in February 11th of this year, 2025,
Okay.
which lays out the situation of this guy, Gu Wanming.
Yeah.
And he's not just any journalist. He was a former employee of Xinhua News Agency,
Oh, wow.
which is,
That's a pretty
it
significant
is
arm of the state media.
absolutely a
Oh.
significant arm of the state media apparatus.
Yeah, so what happened to him, I think, really underscores the risks of speaking out in China. So the report says that he was given a one-year prison sentence back in November
Okay.
by a court in Shanghai.
Yeah.
And the charge was picking quarrels and provoking trouble. Which,
Yeah, it seems a little vague.
yeah, it sounds pretty vague, and it kind of makes you wonder what's really going on here. And this supposedly all happened because he publicly called for an investigation into the death of former Premier Li Keqiang.
That's right. And the consequences didn't stop there.
Oh, really?
So not only did he get the prison sentence,
Right.
Xinhua News Agency, his former employer, they also stripped him of his retirement benefits.
Oh, wow.
So like a double whammy of punishment.
Yeah, I mean, that really illustrates just how,
Yeah.
intense the repercussions can be for people who voice dissent.
And I think it's worth noting that this picking quarrels and provoking trouble is a really broadly defined charge.
Right.
It's often used to just kind of silence any sort of dissenting opinions or
Yeah,
actions.
it's a catch-all.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so this brings us to the parallel experience of Yao Guofu,
Okay.
whose insights are a really big part of this Epoch Times article.
Right.
So can you give us a little bit of background on him?
So Yao Guofu was a teacher,
Right.
retired in early 2015,
Okay.
and his story, while the details are different, shares a kind of disturbingly similar thread to what happened with Gu Wanming.
Okay, so what led to Yao Guofu's imprisonment?
So according to his account, he was imprisoned for practicing Falun Gong
Okay.
and for what he calls speaking the truth about it.
Okay.
So this led to his arrest on December 5th and then a 4.5 year prison sentence in December of 2016.
Wow.
And the charge against him was using a cult to undermine the implementation of the law.
Right. So both of these guys, Gu Wanming and Yao Guofu, they faced, pretty severe punishment for expressing views that didn't align with the CCP.
Absolutely.
But Yao Guofu's troubles didn't end when he got out of prison, did they?
No, they didn't.
So what happened?
So after his release, Yao Guofu tried to get his retirement benefits reinstated.
Okay.
And at first, it seemed pretty promising. You
Yeah.
know, he got assurances from various local authorities,
I could.
his former school,
Okay.
the police station, the Education Bureau, even the Political and Legal Affairs Committee at the district level.
Wow. So they were all on board, it seemed like.
It seems like it, yeah.
He should be getting his benefits.
Right.
Yeah.
There's this general principle of, you retire, you get your pension.
Yeah, of course.
So it seemed like everything was going to be okay.
But then what happened?
Well, there's this quote that really stuck out to
Oh,
me.
yeah. Can you remind us of that?
Yeah, it was from the Deputy Secretary of the Political and Legal Affairs Committee.
Okay.
And he said something along the lines of,
Yeah.
"We would even give food to little cats and dogs.
Right.
So how could we possibly deny a dignified person their means of sustenance?"
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Right.
So, it seems like everything's going to be okay. They're
Yeah.
giving you these assurances,
Yeah.
and then what happens?
Well, when he actually went to the Labor Bureau,
Yeah.
to the pension department,
Right.
they told him that his name had been removed
Removed from where?
from the provincial finance department's computer system.
Oh, wow.
So basically,
Yeah.
they were saying, no pension for you.
Wow. And did they give him a reason for that?
Well, when he asked about the legal basis for this,
Mm-hmm.
is there a law
Yeah.
that justifies this?
Right.
They told him to go look it up himself online.
What?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. So they couldn't point to any specific regulation?
Nope.
Wow.
And even when they researched it themselves,
Yeah.
and when
Well,
he researched it himself,
right.
couldn't find anything.
So what do they say?
Just wait for policy?
Wait for policy.
Yeah, so basically they're saying you might get your benefits back
Right.
if someday some higher level policy comes out and your
Yeah.
name magically reappears in the system.
Right.
But until then,
Yeah. Tough luck.
yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so Yao Guofu makes this really important point that, this isn't just some kind of administrative error or misunderstanding.
Right.
This seems like a deliberate policy.
Exactly. And, he looked into it,
Yeah.
couldn't find any documentation.
Right.
And then he saw Gu Wanming's case
Yeah.
and he realized that there's probably some kind of internal document
Right.
that's dictating this,
Yeah.
withholding of benefits for people like them
Right.
who have spoken out
Right.
against things the CCP doesn't like.
It's like a shadow
It
policy
is, yeah.
that they don't want to officially acknowledge, but
Exactly.
they're implementing it anyway.
Yeah, so it seems like all these assurances from local officials are just a way to kind of mask this unspoken policy.
Yeah, they're just buying time.
That's right.
Okay, so this brings us to the theme that Yao Guofu keeps coming back to, which is this idea of speaking truth
Yeah.
and the very real consequences of that in China today.
Yeah, and what I think is really insightful here
Yeah.
is how he connects his own experience and Gu Wanring's experience to the case of the late Premier Li Keqiang.
Right.
So he's arguing that all three of them faced negative consequences for saying things that the CCP and its
Oh.
leaders didn't want to hear.
So let's dig into that a little bit.
Okay.
What were some of the unpopular things that Li Keqiang said?
So Yao Guofu points to several instances where Li Keqiang's statements kind of went against the official narrative under
Yeah.
Xi Jinping.
Right.
For example, Li Keqiang acknowledged that there are still 600 million people with a monthly income of only 1,000 yuan,
Wow.
which, is a far cry from the claims of poverty
Yeah,
eradication.
huge discrepancy there.
Yeah.
Right.
He also mentioned Li Keqiang's remarks like, the Yangtze and Yellow Rivers will not flow backward,
Oh, great.
and heaven is watching what people do.
Right, so these could be seen as like subtle criticisms
Exactly.
of, the current leadership.
Right, or the direction that things were going.
So in this context, Gu Wanming questioning the circumstances of Li Keqiang's death
Right.
takes on a whole new meaning.
Yeah, it wasn't just some random question. It was a direct challenge to the narrative that the CCP probably wanted to control.
Yeah, and then there's Yao Guofu's own experience of speaking out,
Right.
which was about Falun Gong, the history of the CCP
Yeah.
and the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners.
Right.
And these are all topics that are just incredibly sensitive in
Extreme.
China.
Yeah, you don't talk about those things.
And, it's important to remember that the Chinese Constitution, at least in theory, guarantees freedom of speech,
On paper. Well,
right?
on paper.
Yao Guofu makes this point himself, saying, look, there's this supposed, right?
Yep.
But then you have these guys
Yeah.
who are facing these really harsh consequences.
Right. And it makes you question.
Yeah, what are these rights really
Yeah.
worth?
What do these freedoms actually mean?
Right, if you can just be thrown in prison for expressing your views.
Exactly. And he makes a comparison to what he calls normal countries,
Okay.
where, having different opinions
Yeah.
is actually protected.
It's not a crime.
Yeah.
All right, so this leads us to Yao Guofu's analysis of why the CCP suppresses dissent so much. And he argues that it's not because the leadership doesn't understand the value of diverse opinions.
No, he actually thinks they're very aware of it.
Okay.
He even brings up historical examples
Like what?
like Confucius,
Right.
Emperor Taizong, and his advisor Wei Jing, the strategist Zhu Liang.
Okay.
All these figures who were known for valuing different perspectives, getting advice from different people.
So if they know this, why are they suppressing speech so much?
Well, Yao Guofu says it all boils down to one thing:
What's that?
power.
Power.
Yeah, they want to maintain their power at all costs.
Okay.
And he thinks they believe that if they lose power,
Yeah.
it's game over
Yeah.
because all their secrets will come out, all
Right.
their lies, conspiracies, and violence, as he puts it.
And they'll be held accountable.
Exactly. And they'll lose all their prestige and privilege.
Right. So it's about self-preservation.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay, and he even brings up Jiang Zemin's directive to eliminate unstable factors in the bud.
Right.
And it's pretty clear that they see free speech as a major unstable factor.
Yeah, anything that could rock the boat.
Yeah, and the lengths they go to control information is just mind-boggling.
Absolutely, and the money they spend on it is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So the article mentions this report from 2015 that estimated the cost of these huge surveillance projects.
Which ones?
The Golden Shield Project.
Yeah.
And the Large Intelligence Project.
Oh, right.
These are like the backbone of China's internet censorship.
Yeah.
And they're estimated to have cost somewhere between 100 and 600 billion RMB.
Billion.
Yeah, that's a huge amount of money.
That's a lot of resources to dedicate to just silencing people.
Exactly.
Okay, so what are some of the methods that they use to suppress free speech?
Well, it's a pretty multifaceted approach.
Okay.
First off, they have sophisticated keyword filtering on the internet. So you know you can't post certain things online.
Like what kind of things?
Well, you know, obvious things like June 4th.
Okay, referring to Tiananmen.
Exactly. Tiananmen itself, names of leaders.
Right.
Words like freedom, democracy.
Okay.
And of course, Falun Gong and their principles, truthfulness, compassion, forbearance.
Right. But it's not just like serious political stuff.
No, it gets pretty weird.
What do you mean?
Well, under Xi Jinping,
yeah,
they've added all sorts of bizarre things to the censorship list.
Like what?
It's like steamed bun.
Steamed bun?
Yeah, it's a mocking reference to Xi Jinping.
Okay.
Winnie the Pooh.
Right.
Another nickname for him.
Wow.
And even just the letter N in some context. The
letter N?
Yeah.
Why?
Who knows?
Well, so it's like they're playing this game of whack-a-mole.
Yeah, pretty much.
With anything that could potentially be even remotely critical.
Exactly. And the consequences for posting prohibited content are pretty serious.
Yeah. Like what happens if you do manage to post something?
Well, it could be anything from, you know,
yeah,
your content getting deleted, your account being suspended,
okay,
to getting a police warning, or even getting arrested and imprisoned.
Wow.
Yeah, he mentioned some specific cases in the article.
Like who?
Guo Quan.
Okay.
He got a 10-year sentence for writing articles online advocating for citizens' rights.
10 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Liu Xiaobo.
Okay.
The Nobel Peace Prize laureate.
Right.
He was imprisoned for co-authoring Charter 08,
okay,
which was this manifesto calling for political reform.
Wow.
Wang Hao.
Okay.
He was jailed for criticizing government corruption online.
And Zhu Xiong.
Yes, imprisoned for his political commentary.
So it's not just online speech that they're targeting, right?
No, not at all.
Even dissenting views in like meetings or private settings.
Yeah, even there it can be dangerous.
The article talks about Li Keqiang again in this context.
Yeah, so while the official story is that he died of a sudden heart attack, Yao Guofu suggests that his removal from power and his death could be connected to him having expressed different opinions.
Within the party.
Yeah, within the inner circles of the party.
And he also mentions Wang Shugu.
Oh, yeah, the president of Xi'an Jiaotong University.
Yeah.
He was dismissed.
For what?
For mentioning universal values in a university meeting.
Wow.
Which seems like a pretty innocuous thing to say.
Yeah.
But apparently it was politically unacceptable.
Right.
And they got rid of him.
So they're really clamping down on any form of dissent.
Yeah.
Even if it's just expressing basic values.
Pretty much.
All right. So this suppression extends to writers and intellectuals as well.
Absolutely.
You know, the case of Yuji is a pretty disturbing example.
Yeah, what happened to him was really awful.
So what happened?
Well, he's a writer and political commentator.
Okay.
Known for his critical views of the government.
Right.
And after he published a book criticizing then Premier Wen Jiabao and was planning to write a biography of the imprisoned Nobel laureate Liu Xiaobo.
Wow, so he was really going after them.
Yeah, he was.
What happened?
He was abducted.
Oh, wow.
Hooded.
What?
And tortured.
Tortured.
Yeah.
Wow.
And eventually he was forced into exile.
Just to escape further persecution.
Exactly.
I mean, that's intense.
It's really chilling.
And for people who protest publicly, even in like symbolic ways, the response is just as harsh.
Yeah.
The article mentions Peng Lifa.
Oh, yeah. The guy who protested on the Sitong Bridge.
Right. In Beijing.
Yeah.
He put up these banners criticizing Xi Jinping.
Yeah. He was really brave.
What happened to him?
Well, he was immediately imprisoned
and
pretty much disappeared from public view.
And then there's Feng Yurong.
Yeah, another young man who hung up banners
Okay.
expressing his discontent.
Same thing happened to him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Imprisoned and disappeared.
Yeah, it's a common pattern.
It's really scary.
It is, yeah.
And it's not just like high-profile dissidents.
No.
They're also going after rights lawyers, online activists, ordinary people who just petition the government,
right?
You know, trying to address grievances.
And they face serious repercussions.
Yeah, the article mentions Cao Zi and Liek Xu.
Right, two more victims of this crackdown.
I mean, the statistics really paint a grim picture.
I do.
Of free expression in China.
There was a report from PEN America in 2023.
Yeah.
On global writing freedom.
Okay.
And they found that at least 339 writers and public intellectuals were imprisoned worldwide.
Wow.
And China accounted for 107 of those.
107?
Yeah. It's insane.
It's the most of any country.
And it's been that way for 5 years in a row.
That's right.
Wow. And what's really alarming is that 50 of those imprisoned in China were targeted specifically for their online criticism.
Right. So just expressing their opinions online got them thrown in jail.
Basically.
Wow. And Radio Free Asia. They reported that China has the most imprisoned journalists in the world.
Yeah, at least 123.
123 journalists in prison.
It's a really dire situation.
That's a huge number.
It is.
And, you know, I think one of the most devastating examples of the consequences of this suppression is the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah, that was a real turning point.
Right, because it showed the world just how dangerous it can be.
Exactly.
When a government silences people who are trying to warn about a serious threat.
The article goes into the story of Dr. Lin Wenling.
Oh, yeah. The ophthalmologist in Wuhan.
Right.
Who was one of the first to warn about the virus.
Yeah, back in late 2019.
And he was reprimanded.
Yeah, by the police.
For what? For spreading rumors.
Spreading rumors.
Yeah.
And then, ironically, he died from the virus himself.
That's the really tragic part.
Yeah. I mean, his death really became a symbol of the dangers of censorship.
Right.
And the consequences of that initial suppression were felt all over the world.
They were global, yeah.
So what happened? Well, the article argues that the delay in acknowledging the virus and taking action to stop it was a direct result of the government silencing people like Dr. Li.
Right, they were trying to control the narrative.
Exactly.
Instead of actually addressing the problem.
Yeah, and it backfired spectacularly.
Right, because the virus spread unchecked.
Yeah, it was a disaster.
And it wasn't just Dr. Li.
Yeah.
They were suppressing information from all sorts of sources.
Yeah.
At first, they denied the virus even existed. And then they tried to downplay it.
Right.
Saying things like preventable and controllable, no need to panic.
Which turned out to be totally false.
Yeah. And they were also silencing anyone who tried to report the truth.
Right. Citizen journalists like Zhang Qishi Fengbin.
They were all arrested.
Yeah. For just trying to tell the world what was really happening.
I mean, the global impact was just devastating.
It was, yeah.
Millions of people died. The economy was crippled.
Yeah, it was a global catastrophe.
And the article points to a legal ruling that really highlights the consequences of China's actions.
Right. A U.S. federal judge, Stephen N. Limbaugh Jr., ruled in March of this year that China has to pay the state of Missouri $24 billion.
Wow. $24 billion.
Yeah. As compensation for concealing the truth about the COVID-19 outbreak.
Wow. So a court of law has actually acknowledged that China's suppression of information had real-world consequences.
Exactly.
It's easy to think that this suppression of free speech is a recent thing.
Yeah.
Maybe something that's gotten worse under Xi Jinping.
Right.
But Yao Gofer reminds us that this has been going on for a long time.
It's deeply rooted in the history of the CCP.
Yeah. He says that people who think earlier periods like the Mao era were more tolerant are wrong.
Yeah. He brings up the horrors of the Cultural Revolution and the anti-rightist campaign.
And the executions of people like Lin Zhaoli Julian.
Yeah. And Zhang Haiyuan.
Right. And he even mentions organ harvesting.
Yeah. Which is just horrific.
Right. And then there's Zhang Zixin.
Yeah. Who was tortured before her execution.
It's just unbelievable. The cruelty.
It's hard to comprehend.
And millions of people were labeled as rightists.
Right.
And persecuted just for expressing different political views?
Yeah, so it's clear that the CCP has always been about silencing dissent.
From the very beginning.
Yeah.
All right, so Yao Guofu outlines some pretty serious long-term harms.
Yeah.
That result from this suppression of free speech.
He really breaks it down.
So what are some of the key things he talks about?
Well, firstly, he talks about policy mistakes.
Okay.
You know when you stifle dissenting voices?
Yeah.
And you don't allow people to criticize your policies?
Right.
You're more likely to make bad decisions.
Because you're not getting the full picture.
Exactly.
Okay, and he gives a lot of examples.
He does, yeah, from throughout the CCP's history.
Like what?
Well, he mentions the anti-rightist campaign, the Great Leap Forward, the Cultural Revolution, the Tiananmen Massacre, the one-child policy, the persecution of Falun Gong, and more recently, the zero COVID policy, the push for state advances, private sector retreats, and the abolition of presidential term limits under Xi Jinping.
So he's saying all these policies were bad decisions.
Yeah, and he thinks they were made in part because of the lack of open discussion and debate.
And the human cost of these policies has been enormous.
It's hard to even fathom.
Yeah. Yao Guofu estimates that around 80 million people died.
Just during Mao's era alone.
Wow. And it's hard to get accurate figures for later periods.
Yeah, because of the censorship.
But there's evidence that the CCP's policies have continued to have a devastating impact.
He talks about these ghost cities, declining birth rates, and the possibility that China's population has actually shrunk significantly.
Wow.
And then there's the economic damage.
Right, the economic consequences of suppressing free speech.
Yeah, he talks about the current economic downturn in China, you know, foreign capital fleeing.
Businesses closing.
Right.
Unemployment rising.
Yeah.
Income shrinking.
It's a pretty bleak picture.
It is. Yeah.
And he also talks about the incalculable losses from past campaigns.
Yeah, like the Great Leap Forward.
Right.
Which was an economic disaster.
So suppressing free speech doesn't just hurt people's freedom.
Right.
It hurts the economy, too.
Absolutely.
And then there's what Yao Guofu calls the destruction of spirit and soul.
Right. He argues that this long-term suppression of free speech has really messed with people's minds and their behavior.
Okay, so how?
He says it's led to an increase in recklessness and cruelty by the authorities.
Okay.
So, you know, you have these extreme statements by Mao.
Yeah.
The brutality of the Cultural Revolution.
Right.
Deng Xiaoping's orders regarding Tiananmen.
Mm-hmm.
Jiang Zemin's directives on persecuting Falun Gong.
Right.
And what he sees as Xi Jinping's willingness to sacrifice people's well-being for the sake of party power.
Okay.
And then he talks about the forced organ harvesting.
Oh, which is just...
That's so disturbing.
Yeah, it's absolutely horrific.
Yeah, he mentions the case of Hu Jinyu.
Right.
And the reports of missing university students.
Yeah, it's a really dark side of this whole thing.
Okay, so besides the cruelty, what other consequences does he talk about?
Well, he says it's also led to a lot of sycophancy and toadyism.
Meaning what?
You know, people sucking up to those in power.
Right.
Just to protect themselves and get ahead.
Yeah.
And he gives examples of officials praising Xi Jinping in these over-the-top ways.
It's like a cult of personality.
Yeah, kind of.
And then there's a rise in suicides.
Yeah.
And these dedication to the emperor incidents.
Right, where people lash out violently against society.
Like this pressure cooker effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Where all this suppressed anger and frustration just explodes.
So Yao Guofu paints a pretty bleak picture of what happens when you suppress free speech for so long.
Yeah, it's really disturbing.
It is.
So where does he see this all going?
Well, he thinks the CCP is in a real bind.
Oh.
A catch-22 situation.
Okay, what does that mean?
So if they loosen their grip on free speech, all their dirty laundry will come out.
Right.
And they'll probably lose power.
Okay.
But if they keep suppressing speech,
mm-hmm.
their internal problems will just get worse, and they'll become even more isolated internationally.
So they're damned if they do and damned if they don't.
Pretty much, yeah.